We're on Daf Pei Dalid Omer Aleph. And here on Daf Pei Dalid, we were discussing a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The issue is how to compare what's called Zrika to Shilshul, which means that if you have two Rishuyos, and you have a third area which is accessible theoretically to both of these two Rishuyos, which one owns that third Rishus? You have a tail, or you have an Amud, you have a Sela. And we do a comparative study of the various Chatzeros that border on this third Rishus, which is Noach Tashmishto, which has an easy access to use that third Rishus. And then we say that that chatzer that has easy access to that rishus is allowed to carry out into that rishus. So that, let's say, for example, we have something called zrika. Zrika would mean that this boulder is very high, and there are people living on the ground floor in the chatzer lamata. And in order for them to get any benefit and tashmish out of this tail or this amud or this sela, they need a zrika, they have to throw it up. On the other hand, you can have a case where you have bnei aliyah that are living in a higher apartment on the second floor, third floor, etc. And for them to get benefit out of this sela or amud, they need what's called shilshul. Shilshul means to lower it down. Now, what happens in a case where the sela or the amud is directly in the middle between the higher chatzer and the lower chatzer, between the higher chatzer that needs shilshul and the lower chatzer that needs zrika? So on that we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds that in such a case, shnei masurim, if no one has a superior position, then it falls, so to speak, in between the cracks. Where Shmuel's of the opinion that shilshul is easier than zrika. Now the Gemara is going to quote our Mishnah and try to use this as a proof to support Shmuel and as a question to raise an objection against Rav. It says in our Mishnah, Tanan Chulyas Habor. So let's just make sure that we all have the right place. We're on Daf Pei Dalid Amud Aleph. We're approximately 20 lines down from the top of the Amud. And the first word in the line is Ushnehem. So I'll give you a few seconds to find that. Again, it's less than 20 lines down. I didn't count them. Maybe it's 15 lines down. And it's about one third down the Amud. So I'm hoping that you have it now. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Chulyas Habor. You remember that when they dug a ditch, they used to take the soil, the dirt that they took out of the ditch, and they used to create a certain rim or a lip around the top of the bar. And now the bar and its airspace is surrounded not just by the subterranean part, but it's also surrounded by the Chulya, about that part of the hekef on top of the bar, the sela. Now we have a large boulder that sits inside a chatzer. And the Mishnah says, Shein gvoa nasora, if they are 10 tefachim high, which means that those who live on one floor up from the ground floor, they have easy access to both the chulya and the sela, which are protrusions, things that have a height above ground level. A third case, those are the two cases. And in these two cases, the Mishnah says, La merpeses, the Gemara thinks, means for the bnei aliyah, those who are higher up, above the sela or the chulyas habor, and because of the height of either the chulya or the sela, those who live, we call them the bnei aliyah, on a high floor, it's easier for them to get access here because of Shilshul, right? They do a Shilshul. Whereas the Bnei HaChatzer have to do a Zrika because they're down on ground level. But Pachos Mikan, LaChatzer. If the Chulias HaBar or Sela is not tall, it's relatively lower, it's very close to the ground level, then LaChatzer. Now again, the Gemara thinks right now, and we discussed this yesterday, that the Merpeses is referring to the Bnei Aliyah. The Bnei Aliyah have their entranceways very high up, above the Merpeses, so they climb down to the Merpeses with a set of ladders. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says that if the Chulias HaBar, or the Sela, are high, meaning they're above 10 tefachim, then they belong to the Merpeses, which means that Bnei Aliyah, their use of these areas called the Sela or Chulias HaBar is through Shilshul, whereas the Bnei HaChatzer would require Zrika, because the Chulias HaBar and the Sela are above 10 tefachim. So we have the Shimush of the Bnei Aliyah, which is called Shilshul, and we have the Shimush of the Bnei HaChatzer, which is called Zrika. And in such a case, we're going to grant and recognize the Shimush of Shilshul and trump the Shilshul, the Shimush of Zrika. We're going to give it to the Shilshul. Now that's a question on Rav, because Rav says if you have Lezeb Zrika, Lezeb Shilshul, then both are Asur. This would support the view of Shmuel that Shilshul trumps Zrika. It's easier to, you know, drop something down below your eye level than it is to throw it up. Rav Huna, Rav Huna defends Rav, and he says, you misunderstood what Merpeses means. The word Merpeses in the Mishnah is Li'osan Adarim B'Merpeses. We're not talking about people who live above the Merpeses, but rather, when you open up their doors, you immediately go out to the Merpeses. The patio is on the same exact level as their apartments. And now, the Chulias HaBar V'Sela, which are standing in the chutzah and they're above 10 tefachim, they reach exactly the level of the Merpeses. Or alternatively, they're a little bit higher or a little bit lower, but they're within the 10 tefachim radius bookends of the Merpeses. That's why the Mishnah says that they belong, meaning, when I say they, I mean the Bar and the Sela, to the Merpeses, not to the Chotzer. The Bnei Merpeses have what's called Tashmishim B'Nachas. That's called a Pesach, if you remember. Whereas for the Bnei HaChotzer, it's a difficult throw. And this is a case where even Rav would agree that since it's Pesach versus Zrika, we grant it to, and we're Matir Tiltil for the Pesach, in this case, for the Merpeses. So Gemara says, Tenach Sela. I'm willing to accept Rav Huna's answer in the case of a Sela that's higher than 10 Tfach. And I'm going to grant you the premise that it's Tashmisha Noach for the Bnei Merpeses, because they're going to use and enjoy the top surface of this large boulder, which is, again, a height that's equal to the Merpeses. But Bar Ma'ikal Amemar, are you telling me that they have use of the Bar because the Bar at the height of 10 Tfachim, meaning the Chulias HaBar, reaches the exact same height of the Merpeses? That's not what we're doing with this Bar. Why did they dig this bar? The bar is a cistern for water. And you're going to have to put a pail into the bar in order to draw water from the floor, the karka of the bar. Now, a bar, in general, is at least 10 tefachim deep. So that those who live in the Merpeset, they're going to need a shulshul of at least a 10 tefachim lowering of their pail into the water. And therefore, you're going to have to say, there's no way out here, that in the case of a bar, the Bnei HaChatzer have Tashmish Bizri, because they're going to have to throw something up on top of the bar. In other words, they can't fill their pails with water unless they throw the pails up on top of the chuliyah, which is more than 10 tefachim. We're going to give the bar to the Bnei Merpeses, but they're going to need shilshel. It's not like you said in the case of Sela, where the top of the cell is exactly at the level of the Merpeses. Here, the top of the chuliyah, I understand, is at the level of the Merpeses, but the bottom of the bar is more than 10 tefachim deep. They're going to have to do, the Bnei Merpeses will have to implement a shilshel. And this again will support the sheet of Shmuel, that our Mishnah is going to grant the chuliyas habar to the Merpeses, because shilshel is greater than zrika, because as far as the Bnei HaChatzer is concerned, they need zrika. But according to Rav, who says that if you're balancing an area between shilshel and zrika, it's also on both of them, how could the Mishnah say that we're going to grant it to the Bnei HaMerpeses and they're going to be allowed to use this chuliyas habar? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yitzchak Barei the Rav Yehuda, Hacha Bebar Malei Amayim Askinan. We're talking about a bar whose water level reaches all the way to the top. So at the top of the cistern, which is exactly at the eye level, so to speak, I use that phrase figuratively, of the Merpeses. Therefore, as far as the Merpeses is concerned, he doesn't have to draw the water from the bottom of the bar. He just takes off the surface level of the mayim on top of the bar. And that's called Tashmishe Noach. That's called a Pesach. Which Rav agrees allows you to use the bar in this case. So the Gemara now is bothered. V'achasra. I may agree with you that the water reaches the top level of the bar initially. But if he's going to constantly be using the bar and drawing water from the bar, then at some point, chasra, the top level of the water is going to go down. And then he's going to have to use a shulshul, if he's from the Bnei HaMerpeset, in order to draw the water from the bar. Because the water on the top level is no longer there, and he's going to have to go deeper and deeper. So Gemara tries one answer and rejects it. The Gemara says, "Kevan dechimalia sharia ki chaser nami sharia." Since we're going to permit him in the Merpeses to use the bar and draw water from the bar in a case where the water level is all the way on top, so too, even when it goes down, we're going to also allow it. And the Gemara's Svara here is called Keva Chahutra Hutra. You may remember that we discussed this in the past, that if at the outset of Shabbos you were allowed to carry from a certain area to another area, then we continue that heter even if the reason for it is gone. So let's say, for example, you have a Mokom that's Mukaf Mechitzos, and then the Goyim come on Shabbos and they destroy the Mechitzos. You may recall a sugya that we had on Daf Yud Zion of a shayora, you know, that they're out, you know, camping overnight, and they place, you know, different saddles and so forth around the area to be makif the area so that they can carry within that area. And then during Shabbos, you know, it got removed, but we apply the principle of kevon of hol v'hutra hutra. That since on the outset of Shabbos it was mutter, therefore remains mutter. We also had a sugya of bittul ha-pesach shebein shtei chatzeros, And if it became batel on Shabbos, the Eruv still remains valid, even though the Pesach is completely batel. You know, there was some sort of an avalanche that closed up the Pesach. We're going to still consider the Eruv as being valid and viable, even though now there's a complete closed mechitza between the two chatzeros. And again, applying the principle of Shabbos came into Hutra Hutra. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara records machlokas about this. Not everybody agrees that Shabbos hold for Hutra Hutra. There are the dissenting opinions. But here in this case, with regard to the Tashmish of B'nai Achatz or the B'nai Merpeses, in some area that is mishutaf to both of them, then if it was mutar on Erev Shabbos for someone, right, for, let's say, the B'nai HaMerpeses, then we're going to allow him to have Rishus for the entire balance of Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to reject this. Now, why does the Gemara reject this? So for this, we're going to have to go back to our understanding of miut, which was a major sugya. Let's first read the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Adarabba, on the contrary, Keva dechi chosra asira kimalya nami asira. Which literally translates in the following way. That since the water level goes down, and the B'nai HaMerpeses now become osur, they're not allowed to have access to the water in the bar because it now requires what we call shilshul. Therefore, even when the water level is up on top and the bar is mole v'gadish, it should still be osur. We should still generate an iser on the B'nai HaMerpeses. Why is that so? I mean, we just finished saying that Kevon Shohutra Hutra. That once you had a situation in which it was mutter on Shabbos, at the outset of Shabbos, it remains mutter. So why is the Gemara changing its mind? So what I want to do now is summarize Tosus Dibur Maskil Kevon. Maybe if we have time we'll read it inside. Tosus says the following, that what's going on here is we're measuring the distance between the surface level of the water and the merpeses. And if the level is 10 tfachim or more, then the bar is, so to speak, out of the range of the merpeses. What happens? The water itself now functions as a mute, to be a davar hamamayit, to reduce the distance between the merpeses and the bar. Let me try to clarify that. The bar itself has a bottom. We'll call it the karkois habar. That karkois habar is a full 10 tfachim and more below the merpeses. The only agent that is functioning to diminish the 10 tfachim distance between the bottom of the bar and the merpeses is the mayim. So the mayim is now serving as a mamayit. And Just 1 second. I just want to make sure I get the mathematics here. If we're going to say that the Mayim spot is the level is going down, so Dovra need. Oh, good. Now I got it. So again, the Mayim is now, in a sense, filling the gap between the Merpeses and the bar, such that it's no longer 10 Tfachin. I mean, just to remind you, it's like a case where you have a kosel of 10 Tfachin between two Chatzeros, and you set up a Sulam or an Itzaba, whatever you do to reduce the 10 Tfachin. So the Mayim now is reducing the 10 Tfachin, and what it and its goal, its modus operandi is to create a Pesach between the Merpeses, the Bnei Merpeses, and the bar, allowing them to use the bar because there's no longer 10 Tfachim distance between the two because you filled up the bar with Mayim. However, here's the catch 22. A Dover HaMamayit, like the Sulam and the Itzaba and all the rest, that has to be a Dover Kavua, which means it's Eino Nitol B'Shabbos. A Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos cannot function as a Mamayit. And if you recall, we spoke about the difference between different types of ladders. You know, you had the ladders from Egypt, and the ladders from Bavel, and the ladders from Tzipori, and Tzur, I should say, not Tzipori, all the rest. And we discussed whether or not the ladders are very heavy, and therefore it's Kavua. Or you have something that would be Mukta, like the Marva Chatzina, you remember in the case of the overturned tub, or barrel, and he digs it into the earth. So the whole question was whether it's a Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos or Dover HaShedo HaNitol B'Shabbos. Now the question we're going to ask here about the Mayim is, again, I'm going to ask it naively, but there's a clear-cut answer to this question. What is the status of the Mayim? Is the Mayim a Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos or a Dover HaShedo HaNitol B'Shabbos? And the answer clearly is it's a Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos. You're allowed to take the water out of the bar on Shabbos. The water is in no way mukta. Is therefore, if you're talking about the water being filled up to the top, and then it gradually gets lower and lower as you draw water from the bar, then you're obviously talking about a Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos. So what are you telling me? Well, with the outset of Shabbos, the onset of Shabbos, the bar was full to the top, and that closes the gap between the bar and the Bnei HaMerpeses, and serves as a Dover HaMamayit. What kind of Dover HaMamayit is? The very fact that the bar goes down, the water level of the bar recedes because you're taking water out of the bar, that itself demonstrates beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Mayim is a Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos. And if the Mayim is Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos, then it can no longer function as a Mamayit. In other words, it's not something that draws the Bnei HaMerpeses closer to the bar and bridges that gap of distance. But on the contrary, the Mayim cannot serve and function as a Dover HaMamayit because the Dover HaNitol B'Shabbos is therefore the Milui, the fact that the water level is full up to the top, cannot be memayit that distance between the bar, which is 10 tfachim below the merpeses. And that, I think, is a summary of this tosis, Divrei Maskil Keman. So in the Masifta, he adds the following: Gova pnei reshus shel habar. If you want to know what is the height of the bar, Eino nikva lefi gova pnei mayim. You cannot determine that by the height of the mayim, and as the water level, if it's higher or lower, but rather lefi karkois habar, because it's the karkois habar that is absolutely stationary and permanent. Whereas the mayim ain a mayim nechshavim el kechafotzim amunochim al gabi arishus. It's there and gone. Ain himatzusam mishanes agdor shal arishus liatzma cannot have any sort of permanent impact on the status of the rishus. Therefore, forget about ho'ovah hutra hutra, because already at the moment of Knesset HaShabbos, the onset of Shabbos, even if the bar is mole, it's absolutely full to the top, over the brim, is mikomakom, also lishtamishbo, because the mayim itself, since it recedes, and therefore it's not something permanent, it cannot be a mamayit. And if it cannot be mamayit, then the distance between the merpeses and the karkois abar is 10 tfachim plus. Which means that in order for the b'nei ha-merpesa to get any benefit and use this bar and draw water from the bar down to the karkois abar, it's going to be a shulshul, it's going to be 10 tfachim plus. And therefore the bar is basically not within the radar screen of the B'nai Amir Pesach. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that on the onset of Shabbos, it was Malia, it was full, with the water level up to the top. And therefore we're going to apply the principle of Holva Hutra Hutra, even if it goes down and recedes during the course of Shabbos. Nein, the Gemara is rejecting that, because even if I grant you that the water was filled in the bar, up to the top with the onset of Shabbos, the mayim itself, insofar as it's a davar nitol b'Shabbos, could not serve as a mamayit. And therefore, when we measure the distance between the bnei ha merpasot and this bar, we do so by measuring down to the karkoyas habar. The mayim is not something that could be a permanent part of the bar and set the bar up to its top and reduce the 10 tefachim. El Omar Abaye. So we have to offer a different answer. Bibor Malea Peros Askinon. Ah. We're talking about Peros. And now the Gemara, I'm going to just say this very naively, is assuming that Peros are stationary. And therefore, the distance between the Mepeses and the top Peros, on the top of this bar, is less than 10 tefachim, and basically it's almost eye level. You walk out of the merpeset and just pluck a fruit from the bar, and therefore it's tashmish noach for the merei merpeset. It's a pesach, and you don't require any shilshul. So obviously the Gemara is not going to be so naive, achasre. I mean, as you take out the peros one after the other, the level of the peros goes down and down, and therefore, once again, if we're measuring the distance from the merpasot down to the bar, we have to go down to the karkois bar. That's the stationary structure of the bar. So the Gemara answers with tivla. We're talking about peros that are tevel, and the peros of tevel therefore have the status on Shabbos of a dover sheno nital because of these are mukta. And why are these peros mukta? Because if you haven't taken off trumas and maisus, they're tevel, you're not allowed to eat them. And anything that is a foodstuff that you're not allowed to eat is mukta. It has the same status as eitzim avonim. It has no constructive purpose. And therefore, he's not going to be taking any of the peros out of the bar, because these peros, insofar as they are tevel, are mukta. It's a davar shein nital b'Shabbos. And therefore the peros are considered like a permanent addition to the bar. And therefore we're going to allow the b'nei merpeses to use this bar, because the peros now are a filler, a mamayit, and the top level of the peros, and he's not going to take a single pri over Shabbos because they're mukta in the case of tevel, reaches the level of the b'nei ha-merpeses. And therefore for them it's a pesach, it's noach tashmishto, and therefore they have access to the bar. Now, the only thing that bothers my mind here is, you know, what's the great gedila here? You know, what have you done to make life easier for the B'nai Amir Peses? I mean, they can't take out the peros anyway during Shabbos. It's mukts. So I'm not exactly sure. Maybe the Gemara has in mind scenarios in which he doesn't move the mukta or Perhaps he has something else inside the bar that's hanging in there. I don't know exactly why and how you gain anything by saying that it is a Pesach and therefore permissible for the Bnei Amr Pesachs. Dekanami, from a word in the Mishnah, I'm going to give you a support text that we're indeed talking about a bar that's full of peros that are tevel, because the Mishnah mentions in one breath chulyas habar vehasela. And when the Mishnah mentions two scenarios in one breath, you assume an equation, an analogy between the two. Dumya de sela, that the chulyas habar is similar to the sela. And just like the sela is kavua, it's a large, heavy boulder, and it doesn't diminish itself. You know, it's there on a permanent basis. So too, the bar has to be up there on a permanent basis. How can it be up there on a permanent basis? You're going to fill it up with fruit. So what? The fruits are nechsa. You take one fruit after the other, and you lower the level of the peros. The answer is they're tevel. And if they're tevel, you can't take them out on Shabbos because of muktzah, shmaminah. This is a clear-cut proof that we're talking about peros that are tevel and have a din of muktzah. The Gemara asks, v'lomali l'misnei bar v'lomali misnei sela. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to mention both bar and sela? It should have said one. If it would have said sela, then we would therefore understand that the same din would apply to a bar. In other words, that if he could use the top of the sela, if he's one of the Bnei Hamir Pasot, so too he could use the top of the bar if the bar is full with peros. Tzricha, I need both. De'i ashme inon sela. If he would have told me that the Bnei Hamir Pasot are allowed to use the sela, that's the lekel of migzar. There's no reason to assume that this sela is going to reduce its height and require on the part of the Bnei Pesas a shilshul. Avol bibar, that's full of pairs of tevel, ligzar, we should institute a gzera, we should say you're not allowed to use the bar. Why? Dezinin demalya peros misukonit. Maybe next Shabbos, the bar will be full of peros after the Trumas of Isis were taken off, and then it becomes a Dovra Anito b'Shabbos, and there won't be any Heter for Mea Mirpasos, because the distance between the Mirpasos and the bar is a full 10 Tfachim, and it will come to violate an Isur. Is therefore Tzricha, I need both of them. So we need both bar and sela, because in the case of bar, we might have instituted a gzera from the heter that applies to peros of tevel, which might be confused with the case of peros misukon. So now we're up to Toshma. And if you're counting up from the bottom of the Amud, just to make sure we're all on the same page, we're about 10 lines up from the bottom, you'll see the first word is tzricha. And the Gemara now is going to try to prove Rav Shita, that if this one needs Shilshul, that's a difficulty, and this one needs Zrika, then both are Asur. Tashma, from the following Brice, Anshe Chotzer, the Anshe Aliyah, Sheshachu V'lo Irvu, if they didn't make an Erev between them, Anshe Chotzer Mishtamshim Ba'asor Tachtonim, in other words, anything that is below 10 tfachim belongs to the chatzah. So let's say, for example, you remember we spoke about a ziz, right? A ziz is a kind of a plank that of wood that, let's say, how do you say bolet in English? It protrudes out of a kosel, and it's within 10 tfachim of the ground. The Anshei HaChatzah can use that that platform, and they can put whatever they want on top of it because it's a Pesach. It's convenient for them to use it insofar as it's below 10 Tvach. The Anshei Aliyah, on the other hand, would not be allowed to use that Ziz because they would require shilshul insofar as the ziz is below, is 10 tefachim plus below the elyonin. The anshe aliyah mishtamshim ba'asara elyonin. Let's say he puts the ziz not on the below 10 tefachim level of the kosel, but rather above 10 tefachim, such that if the distance now between the ziz and the aliyah is less than 10 tefachim, because now tochasar tefachim smuchim l'aliyah, it's within the the distance of 10 tefachim of the b'nei aliyah, so in such a case, the anshe aliyah are allowed to use this ziz because it's samach lehem, and this is called a pesach. The bnei achatz would be also to use this because for them you need zrika. Ketzad. So the brisa explains ziz yotzim min hakotzel lamata me'asor lachatz lamala me'asor l'aliyah. So the gemara now wants to be medayek from the language of this brisa. The implication is hard to beni ubeni. Let's say you have a ziz that's somewhere in the middle of the kosel. It's not within the 10 tefachim close to the ground, to the chotzer. It's not within the 10 tefachim of the elyonim. It's right there in the middle. In other words, let's say we have a kosel that's 21 tefachim in its height. And he places the ziz and attaches it to the kosel right in the middle of that kosel. So it's above 10 tefachim as far as the chatzur is concerned. It's below 10 tefachim as far as the elyonim are concerned. Is also the implication here is that since you would require for the bnei achatzur zrika, you're going to require for the bnei aliyah shilshul in order to get access to this ziz. Therefore, it's aser, and that's exactly the sheet of Rav, that for Shilshul and Zriko, we're going to say it's aser to both of them. Om Rav Nachman, Ocha B'Kosel Tshas or Askinon. We're talking about a case of a Kosel that's 19 Tfachim high. V'ziz Yotze Mimenu. And in this case, there's nothing in the middle between the 10 and the 10, because it's only 19 Tfachim. So it's either in the first 10 tefachim, you know, it's below the 10 tefachim cut off, and therefore it's accessible to the Bnei HaChotzer as a Pesach, or it's in the top 10 tefachim of the kosel. That's where we put the ziz, and therefore it's a Pesach for the Bnei Elyonin. Islamatim Yisor Lezeh B'Pesach U'Lezeh B'Shilshul L'Malam Yisorah Lezeh B'Pesach V'Lezeh B'Zrika. Therefore, in the case of a 19 tefach high wall, the ziz, by definition, is either a pesach for the chatzer or it's a pesach for the aliyah. And therefore, the brisa will allot or designate that ziz to either the bnei achatzer, if it's in the lower half of this kosel, which means lamata me'asor, or to the bnei ha'elyonim, where it's above 10 tefachim. That's in a case where the wall is 19 tefachim high. If, on the other hand, you would have a situation of a kosel that's 20 tefachim high, in such a way that you'll have the beni ubeni. Right, you're going to have the area in between 10 and 10, let's say 20 plus a mashu, then it's lazer bizrika v'lazer bishulshul, and in such a case, it would be awesome for both of them, and that would certainly be true according to Rav. So the Gemara says, let's just read it again, lamate mi'asara is lazeh b'pesach, v'lazeh b'shilshul, l'mala mi'asor, oh, this is the case where, just one second, right, this is a case of a kosel that's 19 tefachim high, so it's either lazeh pesach, and to the other one shilshul, or lazeh pesach, and the other one is zrika. Toshma. Now we turn to Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. Now this is the sugya which I believe we learned together way back when of Mechitza Tluya Ba'avir. We have a Mechitza that is dangling in space. So you have a house that borders on a yam, on an ocean. Again, you may remember months ago that I asked you whether the ocean is salt water or clear water, because it seems that it's drinkable water. In any event, the house, it has a veranda, if you can call it that. We'll see if we can get a better word for it as we go along. And now he wants to draw water from the ocean up onto the veranda through a pail, you know, a pulley system. The problem is that he has to keep the water within a Rishus HaYachid. And what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to create a Rishus HaYachid. Okay, I can't find that. I had something here which I must have misplaced here. So this is a Mishnah, which we're going to have later on Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis. So you have a house, a bayis, omeid samach liyam, o linahar. And you have this kind of a porch, it's called a gustera, which extends beyond the house, and it's mamish on top of the water. It's very high up above the water. Now if he were to draw the water from the Mayim directly onto his gustera, then he's violating the prohibition of carrying something from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYachid. The gustera has halacha of a Rishus HaYachid. The Yam, or the Nar, has halacha of a Carmelis. So how are we going to allow him to draw water from the ocean up to the veranda, up to this gustera? So what he does is something called chakika. Chakika means he drills and what's a better word for it? A chakika means an engraving. In any event, what he does is he creates a man-made char. A char is a hole. That's arba l'arba tfachim. And if we accept what's called a mechitza tluya, and we validate that, again, that's going to be a discussion here, but let's assume it's valid, then he has created, in effect, four mechitzos. Because the char itself now has four tfachim by four tfachim. And that's going to allow us to drop mechitzos down from, you know, he's creating this kind of a frame, let's say, around the char, and every section, every side of the frame is four tefachim. And now he lowers the pail inside the empty space of the char between these four frames, these four, and therefore when he now carries up the water, he's taking it from Rishus HaYachid and not from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because the pail goes directly down through this opening that he's created into the water of the ocean directly below. That water is considered a Rishus HaYachid now, because these imaginary mechitzos of mechitzos tluyos now surround that area of 4x4 tefachim, which is directly below, and the pail hits the water, the surface of the water, it's going to take the water from Rishus HaYochid, which is surrounded by imaginary mechitzas, up into a Rishus HaYochid. However, Shteigus Teros Zula Malamizu, what happens in a case where you have a building that has two floors to it? There's the bottom floor and there's the top floor. And now each one of these two apartments, so to speak, has its exit, its door, into its own gustera. So you have a gustera for the top level and a gustera for the bottom level. That's called Zula Malamizu. Okay, now each one of them has its own gustera, but they're not mechuvanos zu and zu. Right, so it means that, let's say, the Elyonim, they have a gustera on the left, and if you go down one floor, you'll end up with a gustera on the right. So there are eno mechuvanos zu me'al zu. Now, in such a case, it's impossible to set up a char from the top aliyah that would be directly above the char in the bottom one, such that he simply needs a longer rope on top in order to draw the water, but it's going to go through the two chorim because the gusteros are not mechuvanos zu keneged zu. Asu lel yona v'lo asu l'taftona Shtein Asuros. If the Elyona, that gustra on top, on the higher level, sets up a char with its mechitzos, right, the frames around it, but the Tachtona, the residents who live on the lower floor, how will they draw water if they don't have a char and a mechitza? Because what they're going to have to do is tzrichim lizrok es hadlishalem derech ha'elyona u'leshalshalo lemayim v'lisho. In other words, what's going to happen is that if the lower gustera has no char in it, the only way that you could possibly imagine allowing the bnei atachtona, where they don't have a hole in their gustera, to draw water, is they would have to take a ladder. It's like a fire. What do they call it? A fire escape. You know, they have to take a ladder and climb up to the higher gustera for the Bnei Aliyah, for the second floor, where there is a char, and then draw the water up. However, the Mishnah, what are we learning now? A Mishnah or a Braisa? I'm going to assume it's a Braisa. I'm not 100% sure. No, I'm sorry, this is the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is going to say that at this point we need what's called Zrika in order to allow the Bnei HaTachtona to have access to this water. We need what's called Zrika because they have to climb up more than 10 Tfachim to reach the Gusra Al-Yona, where there is a Char, in order to draw the water. And the Mishnah says Osros Zual Zu, that in this case, no one, not even the Elyonim, are going to be allowed to draw the water. Why? Because they both have this shared char. Again, we're assuming that, you know, they made an agreement that even the Tachtonim are allowed to climb up and use that char in order to draw water. That's what they do during the course of the week, because you need water even on a Sunday. And as a result of this joint bailus, this joint partnership ownership over the char, they're going to need to set up an eruv that would allow use of either one of these two chorim on either one of these two gusteros. And this is going to be a support for Rav and Akash on Shmuel. Because according to Rav, in this case, let me just think. According to Rav, in this case, one second. Oh, okay, let me just read this. He says, "Umevurba Mishnah Sha'af Shebnei Ha'El Yonah Yecholim Lishtameish Bechar Al Yidei Shilshul Bilvad." Okay, so the Elyonim will need Shilshul, which means that they're going to have to draw the water from the bottom, from meaning the surface level, that's more than 10 Tfachim high up. The Bnei HaTachtona, who live on the lower level, in order for them to use the Char, right, they need both Zrika and Shilshul. So therefore, the Bnei HaElyona do not have a Tashmish that's Noach, that's more convenient than the Bnei HaTachtona. They're really both Shoven, they're both equal, which would be support for Rav. Now, why are they both equal? Because they certainly both need Shilshul. The Bnei HaElyona don't need Zrika. The Bnei HaTachtona, in addition to requiring Shilshul, they need also Zrika. But in any event, since they both require Shilshul, therefore they're Osrim Elu al Elu. And if that be the case, if we get back to our situation of a Chalon between two Chatzeros, and one of the Bnei HaChatzeros will use it with Shilshul and the other with Zrika, so then the Shimush of Shilshul is not going to be considered more Noach than the Shimush of Zrika. And therefore, in the absence of an Eruv, it's going to be Osrim Zel Zeh, because both of them need some sort of extra koshi, extra effort, whether it's Shilshul or Zrika. And Rav says under those circumstances they're both Osur. And yet Shmuel would say that we give Shimush we give a heter to that chotzer that has an easier shimush. For example, shilshul is easier than zrika. And here in our Mishnah that we've been quoting here about the water, there is a comparison of shilshul for the Elyona with the zrika of the Tachtona. And therefore the Elyona should certainly be mutter without an eruv. Now the Gemara is going to offer a number of answers to this question, but I think that we'll stop here. Just wanted to add a few small points here. Number one, the Gemara initially understood that the Aliyah was very, very high, and therefore Lamala Me'asara doesn't mean Lamala Me'asor Me'akarka, because if that would be the case, then the Bryce is talking about a case of a Ziz, which is Muflag Yoser Me'asor Me'aliyah. And the Ziz itself, Rashi points out, is less than 4x4 Tfachim. Now, if the Ziz is right in the middle of a Kosel that is 19 Tfachim high, in other words, at the level of 9.5 Tfachim, then Shneim Asurim Bo Lefi Shalashneim Tashmish B'Pesach. That's the Ritva. In other words, when the Gemara says Lamata Be'Asara L'Zeh B'Pesach L'Zeh B'Shulshul, that's not B'Dafka, it doesn't mean that a Kol Shehu, you know, anything that's even a little bit less, and it's Lamata Me'asara, the din is came, but means that Kol Shu Tisha Tfachim Umata is considered a Pesach for this one and a Shilshul for this one. And the Gemara did not have to insist that the Kosel is 20 Tfachim, because again, if it's 20 Tfachim exactly, So then, with regard to the Rosh, it's the Tefach Asir, it's the 10th Tefach, and then the Tashmish would be Shulshul Azev, Vizrikul Azev. It'll be also for both of them. And the Braisa was not Matir, unless it's Lamala Me'asura, Lamata Me'asura. But Asura B'diyuk, exactly Asura, that the Gova is Yotzim Echlal Lamata Me'asura, it doesn't yet enter into Lamala Me'asura, is Asura. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop. And as I said, we're going to continue with Omer of Adavar Ava Mirtzashem tomorrow, three lines from the top of Daf Pei Dalet Omid Beis.